Number four, science and technology. Science just continues to dazzle. And we saw developments in physics that were just astounding coming out of the CERN, Switzerland. In the fourth quarter, we saw the announcement that Newtonian physics no longer stood. We see subatomic particles that have exceeded the speed of light. And there's no doubt about it that our whole sort of picture of reality and how it works is standing on its head. I had, as I mentioned before, Bill Tiller on the Solari Report last year talking about the ability for intention to impact material reality. Lynn McTaggart's going to be on in January, and she wrote the book The Field, which is a great roundup of research on what Rupert Sheldrake calls morphogenic fields, sort of how intelligence and knowledge is shared. She has a new book, The Bond, which we're going to talk about when she joins us. But all of the research that she covers and reports on underscores the power of the individual and the importance of organizing our world and our culture around respect for the individual. And it really introduces a development of science and research, which is very different than what most people get when they study in high school and college. Big questions about what the energy model will be. The Thrive documentary is one of the efforts this year to really explore the suppression of energy technology and the fact that our dependency on fossil fuel is really a political dependency more than a material dependency. I continue to believe that the rush to ensure central control of the seed and food supply, including by the sort of the new global law to be able to patent life and GMO food and seed, that rush is really to replace oil as the control asset for the currency. If we're not going to use oil as the asset which backs a dollar reserve currency, but instead are going to adopt new energy technology, then the financial folks need another asset to control. If it's not going to be oil, then I suspect it's going to be seed and food. So even though the two look like they're very different, I think there's a very strong connection between what's happening in the energy model and what's happening in the food model. Hold on just a second. Another important development is watch advanced manufacturing and robotics. I sat down with an interesting activist in Switzerland, and he had a grant from the Office of Naval Intelligence. They had hired him to interest people in low-income communities in becoming robotics engineers. He said the Office of Naval Intelligence expected a need for 400,000 robotics engineers in the United States alone in the next 10 years. Advanced manufacturing, we've seen a huge wave of manufacturing outsourced outside of North America and into the emerging markets. Advanced manufacturing and robotics could bring it back on shore. And it's going to be very interesting because if you look at what advanced manufacturing and robotics can do, it can bring the small guy and small business and the entrepreneur very much back into the game in sophisticated manufacturing. We've seen, in that sort of spirit, we've seen remarkable advances in with entrepreneurs and communities that I've been following on the blog. One is the maker movement, with people getting together and forming clubs where they teach each other how to make just about everything. We see one open source developer trying to create blueprints for the 50 machines you need to have a civilization. We see much greater awareness of the suppression of scientific advances, whether it's energy, healthcare, or many different areas that's coming through the internet. And as that happens, more and more entrepreneurs saying, well, wait a minute, you know, we don't need to depend on large institutions for energy, for home building, for all these different things. Let's figure out how to do it ourselves. And finally, we see the development of crowdfunding and people starting again to talk about the importance of community and microventure to finance these things. So the entrepreneurial pushback within the area of science and technology is very powerful and offers great potential for both the decentralization and wealth building. One of the most important shifts right now in technology is the shift of computing power out of the desktop into the handheld, whether it's the phone or the pad, and it has tremendous impact on the possibilities both for communication and collaboration. As I said before, a lot of the activism Arab Spring, Occupy Wall Street depended on this kind of shift to the handheld. One of our favorite subscribers points out that the phone companies are less committed to open source, and so there's much more potential for control as people are dependent on handheld. That's very very important and good to point out. There's also a lot more potential for invasive surveillance and compromise of privacy. One book I'd like to talk about in 2012 is Ray Kurzweil's book, The Singularity is Near. Needless to say, as we become more dependent on machines and software, the more artificial intelligence determines how things work, and the more invasive the collection of information about all of us is, and that can be used against us even financially, as we've discussed in 2011. One of my greatest concerns about science and technology is the extent to which we're turning our mind over to the empire. So we see more and more people encouraged to keep their servers and data on cloud computing. We see more and more digital books being bought. Amazon is now selling more books through Kindle than physical books. And I loaded Kindle for Mac about 4 months ago, and I'm up to about 40 books on Kindle. And I found it's a great way to just scan books. I tend to read a couple hundred or scan a couple hundred a year just for the Solari Report, looking for different trends or ideas or considering different people to interview. And what I realized after I got to about 35 books was, holy cow, what's to stop somebody from pushing a button to delete these or simply to change them without my knowing? If you look back about 10 to 20 years ago, we literally had knowledge deeply vested in multiple generations in families or networks that were connected, plus in universities, plus in physical books. That's a very redundant knowledge management system. We're going into a world where you're not seeing anywhere near as rich or redundant information within generations of either family or networks that are connected. Universities are much more controlled by large corporations and defense contractors. And now we see the physical books going away. And I must say, real cutbacks in funding of libraries. And the whole thing, when you step back and look at it, makes me very nervous, because for an individual to be powerful or for a family to be powerful, they need to understand their history. And one of the greatest control mechanisms is controlling and rewriting history. One subscriber points out regularly that as the American military goes into Iraq or looks to be targeting Iran, that these are places with great antiquities and much knowledge of the history of ancient civilization. And I know when we occupied Iraq, the first thing that happened was the antiquities sort of got rounded up and shipped off to the British Museum. That's a rewriting of history that's very, very scary and dangerous. And so I've made a commitment for 2012 and going forward. If there's any knowledge that I think is important and I think I need, I'm going to keep it in physical book form and not in e-book form. And I would really encourage you to do the same. If there's knowledge that you need for your business or for your family or your personal life, just make sure that you have redundant backup and copies and that you're not dependent on the empire for your mind.